ends July 15th.
Hi, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. The snapshot of the water cooler buzz happening in and around your own backyards would have to include still more of the fallout over Casey Anthony and the verdict that that jury rendered on Tuesday. She was acquitted of the heinous crime of killing her daughter. She could have faced a needle lethal injection as was a capital murder case. Now, at the tail end of the week, we have people petitioning for something called Kaylee's Law, meaning, and the push is on for a federal law to present it on the Hill and have Congress, somebody in Congress, and enough of them hopefully back it, but that you could not, it would be a felony not to report that you had a child missing after 24 hours. Because remember, one of the key issues in the case and one of the things that the prosecutors really try to pound home is the fact that Casey Anthony didn't report that her daughter was missing until after 30 days. That was one of the things. And then this child, this two-year-old child, really doesn't get any justice. Perhaps this is a form of justice, that this doesn't happen again, where 24 hours, you can't do that. You got to report that kid missing. And that would be at least a little bit of a protection for future children who could be in one of these situations, so that if something dreadful happened to them, the worst, of course, their life was snuffed out, at least the evidence, if they could get to the evidence sooner, meaning find the body of the child, then they would have the evidence, the precious evidence from the body that they needed, the bones that weren't dried, frankly, because it was the skeletal remains that they found of that little girl. And I think that was part of the problem that the prosecution had. So that's one of the good things that could come out of this case. I hope it does become a federal law eventually, and her name is ultimately attached to it. Now, as for Casey Anthony herself, what a difference a couple of weeks actually make. Strung together, it was looking at one point like it was almost a layup. I think people assumed that she would be found guilty. Here on this show, we told you and had a couple of attorneys that said, just takes one juror. Ultimately, it was a decision that was rendered pretty easily within less than 11 hours that she would not be convicted of killing her daughter. Now, as to getting out of prison, that decision was made in a courtroom by Judge Perry, that she would serve a year for every one of the felony counts of lying to law enforcement, the wild goose chases over where Kaylee was and what happened and all that stuff. But she did the time already, so she gets out on the 17th. She walks out on the 17th, where she goes, what kind of life she leads, what she carries around in her head, who knows? Does she end up on some special somewhere talking about feelings and her child and sell her story? I mean, you can bet there'll be money attached to this if that's the case. I don't know that I see her actually speaking out, maybe in some other form of media. I don't know that I see her under the hot lights talking to Dateline NBC or some other news franchise. But I think she pops up somewhere. I think something does become of that. I think the idea of selling whatever it is to put herself in the situation financially, I think that she'll probably do that. Here right at the top, though, something that does definitely create buzz in your neighborhoods, Social Security. You don't jack with people's money, whether you're just getting your checks from the current employment that you have, or you're getting unemployment assistance, or you're getting Social Security because your entire life you paid into it. And for the last 2 years, unfortunately, you didn't get a cost of living increase while everything else around you went up. Now what's being talked about, the president meeting with several of the PAC on the Hill, Democrats and Republicans, he met with them at the White House, talked about cutting Social Security and increasing the money by changing the way they measure inflation. I will try to explain it in the easiest way I can. They're discussing using a different kind of yardstick to gauge inflation. It would be called the Chained Consumer Price Index, basically. And that's how they would come up with what the cost of living adjustments were. Now, the idea means probably paring Social Security by $112 billion over 10 years, raising taxes by $60 billion, and these are just raw numbers that are thrown out, and cutting pension and veterans' disability payments, yikes, I don't like that, by $24 billion. And this is just a guess. These are just some raw numbers from the CBO. But that's what could happen here. And this is what gets lost in all of this possible compromise. It's not done. It's not written in stone. It's a 50-50 chance. Who knows? Sunday there's another meeting. Is this what solves part of the problem of the debt ceiling and crashing into it and whether we default on our loans or not, or we raise the debt ceiling? This is one of the things that has now been discussed, the CPI, so that you can pair that with the economy. And if that happens, I think there are going to be a lot of people that are going to be surprised as they see a shrinking check, because I'm not buying what they're selling that is only going to hit the wealthier end of the checks that come in. I mean, whatever. I don't think so. I don't trust it. But on the deal of compromise, here's what Nancy Pelosi had to say about the debt talks, and also Eric Cantor, two points of view on the cuts and also the tax situation.
We do not support cuts in benefits for Social Security and Medicare. If there's a table that Social Security is on, it's on its own table, and any savings should be plowed back into making Social Security stronger, and the same applies to Medicare as well.
We, as Republicans, are not going to support tax increases. It is counterintuitive to think that you can raise taxes in a sputtering economy.
Wow, that doesn't seem like a compromise to me, at least from Cantor and Pelosi. Maybe they get enough support from some other people. The president seemed pretty confident that that would happen. John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, said 50-50 chance, flip a coin. And what happens on Sunday? I don't know. Somebody better cook an incredible brunch there and figure out who's talking to who and who's zooming who, because it doesn't sound like a lot of the information that was coming out of D.C. late on Thursday. So they just can't agree on anything. I mean, that we all agree on, that the people who represent us are so cockeyed and sideways on half these issues. They just, I'm not saying every single one of them, but a giant chunk of them, cannot get this right. And the White House just keeps throwing out all of these phrases about making a public push for significant spending cuts as part of deficit reduction. Departing from the days when the president urged the people on the Hill to use a scalpel and not a machete to fix the budget woes. Now he's saying grab the machete. Of course. Anything to get elected. That's it. Anything to get elected. All right, hang with us. We'll take some calls next. I promise. 800-259-5791. Throw in your two. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
As many people know, ever since President Nixon took us off the gold standard, the U.S. dollar has been devaluing. What people don't know, however, is how this directly affects your personal finances. Is there a way to protect your portfolios from losing value? The answer to all of this is gold and silver. They both have maintained their purchasing power for 6,000 years. If you had $100,000 in cash and $100,000 in gold and silver back in 1913 and kept them until now, your cash would have the buying power of only $4,800. But your gold and silver would have the buying power of $3 million. The answer to protecting your assets is simple. Call John Ballman today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Get all your questions answered before your money is worth a zero. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Take action today while we still accept paper dollars for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 169.
GCN listeners, why have you been hearing so much about Dermatol, the all-natural, all-purpose first aid spray? Because it's the must-have first aid product you need in your preparedness kit. Dermatol is made in America by Americans who know there's a more affordable, natural way to treat cuts, burns, bites, rashes, shingles, boils, and many other skin problems. Dermatol is gentle enough for diaper rash, powerful enough for bed sores, and harmless to the eyes and mouth. It's great for the whole family, even your family pets. Dermatol is antimicrobial, antifungal, antiviral, and not diminished by freezing, extreme heat, or years in storage. Dermatol is an absolute must for any first aid or preparedness kit. Dermatol's soothing, rapid restoration of injured skin is so effective, it's guaranteed. Order yours today. Call 800-217-6677. 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. Efficient, economical, effective. Spray it all with Dermatol.
All right, 800-259-5791 as we slide into your voices. Any thoughts on Casey Anthony walks away 17th? Love the idea of Kaylee's Law. How about you? Why not? Kids missing for 24 hours. Geez, if you're the parent of that kid, wouldn't you immediately report it? Usually it's hysterical parents and the kid is down the block messing around with their friends and they're in some treehouse somewhere and they have no idea that that's what they're doing. You know how police say, though, we can't missing report, can't file a missing persons report and all that kind of stuff. But with kids, I mean, parents, come on, give me a break. I think that's fair game, and I hope that they give serious consideration to that. Makes complete sense to me. Let's go to Rick in Illinois. Hey, Rick, how are you?
Hello, Kate.
Hello.
I don't think that's going to make any difference to what did the jury look at anyway for evidence.
Right, but I think it could make a difference in the future for some kid because if they could get, think about how long the cops didn't know, they weren't looking for, over and over again, the evidence sort of dried up. They were calling it dry bones because it was skeletal remains. If they had been searching for her sooner, maybe they would have found that body. Maybe it could have made a difference in evidence. Maybe there could have been some traces of Casey Anthony, the DNA, whatever, I don't know. But, of course, that wasn't the case. So perhaps if this heinous kind of thing happens again, they'll be able to nail the parent who has abused and ultimately killed the kid.
Yeah, but, you know, let's say that law was in effect before, but she wouldn't have reported it anyway, so I don't think.
Right, but she would also have to serve more jail time because it's a would be a felony to not report that your child had been missing. She waited 30 days, so she would have to do more time in jail. At least we would, I think we would all feel better about that, because how do you do that? I still can't, that's the one thing, I can't make that leap. Can you make that leap, Rick? How could you not report that? How could, of course, well, and that tells you right there that there's something is wrong.
Yeah, that tells you she's guilty as all
you. Yes, know. Yes.
I don't know what they looked at. I mean.
Well, because I think what they did was, and of course we don't know, but I think what they did was they didn't want to give her the death penalty. They wrestled with the beyond a reasonable doubt. And so that was what was emphasized. I think it was beyond a reasonable doubt. They could not come to that conclusion, and therefore that's what they did instead of overlooking that and saying, okay, we're piecing together the circumstantial evidence. They just wouldn't do that. They just wouldn't go there. And at least this could help someone in the future, the 24-hour deal, making it a felony. And you know, if you don't notify them within 24 hours of the child's disappearance or within an hour, by the way, of the child's death. So if there's some kind of an accidental death, and remember that was the other thing. Oh, she drowned, and then we made it look, they didn't say we made it look, but she drowned, and that's what happened there. Well, baloney. So then if somebody else tried to do the same thing, they could nail them, and at least they'd have to do that time. I mean, listen, her life is going to be screwball-y anyway because she's got a big fat microscope, and I hate to say it's true because I'm not advocating someone doing something to her because that doesn't solve the problem or bring back the little girl, but she does have a bullseye on her back, and I think to a lot of people, I don't care the few or the others that embrace her and say, well, she was acquitted of this. The others will say she's a pariah. She should have gotten hers, and I think she's gonna. Remember O.J. Simpson? He had to move anyway because people were walking out of restaurants when he walked in. I think they'll do the same thing to her if she stays in that area.
Well, she might have a hard time getting a job because who's going to hire her?
Well, you know? I think she's going to sell her book rights and all kinds of crazy stuff. I don't know that she'll go on camera. I said this already on some news program, but I think she'll sell her story to some tabloidy magazine and make some money. That's where I think she's going to make money.
Yeah, but don't she have to pay back some of that money they spent?
Well, that's what they're saying. They're saying they want to get her to have her have to pay the money that they spent, yeah.
Yeah, at least that'll help out a little bit. But I heard on the radio that one of the fans there in Texas died trying to catch a ball or something.
Oh, yeah, terrible, terrible story. I was just at the Rangers game a couple of nights ago, and I was stunned when I saw that. I saw it on a post-game show where what happened was a fan was reaching for a ball and fell into the opposing player's bullpen area, which is a high drop, and fell in and seemed, was saying, oh, I hope tell my son I'm okay and whatever, talked to some of the players when they were pulling him out on a stretcher, and apparently then he died afterwards. So it was one of those things where it was a head injury. Almost like, remember Natasha Richardson, how weird that was when she had the helmet on and then she fell on the bunny hill and then she was at the hospital feeling woozy and then she died? Reminds me of that, kind of similar. He was talking to the players, the pitchers that were down there, and then he turns out that he dies. It was a 20-foot fall. That's how far that was into that bullpen area.
And he landed on his head.
Landed on his head. Isn't that terrible? I just walked by that area, and it's pretty steep, yeah. Awful. Just not worth it leaning over. I mean, he's not thinking that, of course, when he did that.
No,
but
no.
It's awful.
I see a lot of the ball games just lean on the railing, try to catch a foul ball or something.
Yeah.
It amazes me how more people ain't falling off into the...
I think the same, it's so funny you say that. I think the same thing, and many of you listening know this. You go to a ball game and you see you've got three tiers, and the nosebleeds especially, that second level where you're right there at the railing, and I've sat there before. I don't care who hit the ball. I don't care if it was Derek Jeter's 3,000th hit. I'm not leaning my hand out and half my body to fly over there for that ball. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, and a lot of them have been drinking anyway, so they don't get balance.
Right, and then they flip.
Yeah, more and more people like Phil Alice saying.
Yeah.
And on the concrete.
Yeah. Terrible.
Well,
Yeah. I mean, Nolan Ryan, I heard, was really choked up. Really, really choked up. Really distraught over what happened. Couldn't believe it happened and they kept saying he was conscious and he was fine, he seemed fine, and then he died. So
yeah.
He was moving his arms, he was talking, they assumed he's okay. And like I said, it's one of those things where they can't, you know, you can't believe that it happened. And Nolan Ryan, as soon as it happened, when the guy tumbled out, he immediately left his seats. He was sitting with George W. Bush, the former president, and he left to find out what had gone on and to make sure the family was okay. And, you know, this is the third time that a fan has fallen over the railing. They've had this happen a couple of different times. There was a woman who fell out and fell from a railing in right field at that ballpark. She landed on empty seats. She broke her arm, two ribs, a few bones in her neck. But she survived. And then there was someone else who died, too. Terrible.
They put higher fences or something.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, what do they do? I don't know. What do you do? Just because that's the idea. You have access. I mean, that's part of the great fabric of the game that, yeah, you try to, you bring the kid, brings the glove, you bring the glove, and you're trying to catch the ball. But, man, this is the second fatal one, too, this year. There was a guy that died, I want to say, same thing. He fell, he hit his head on the concrete. He was at a Rockies game, I think.
Oh.
Yeah, just, you know, what the moral is? The ball is just not worth it. In the excitement of the game, it's just not worth it. Trust me, you can get these autographs, you can do all that. If you're in the middle of the pack and you're further away from the railing, who cares if you jump, you know, if you want to jump for the ball or it comes at you. But if you're right there at the railing, boy, you just can't do that.
No.
Uh-uh.
You use a little common sense.
You got to use common sense.
So.
You're right. You've got a low railing. You could fly out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's easy to flip over. You know, and like I said, a lot of these guys at ball games I went to, they've been drinking, and I'm just amazed they fell off there.
I am too. I don't know how. I agree. I don't know how they don't. I agree. It's crazy. They may end up raising. You make a good point. They might raise the railings. That might be what they end up doing.
Like they do a hockey games, put them glass walls up or something.
Oh, that would be crazy. Oh, I would hate to be sitting in those seats and have to look through that. Oh, no. I mean, then forget it. I'm not going. Then I'm definitely sitting in front of the tube. There's no way.
Yeah.
But a crazy, crazy thing. Hey, you have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too. Take care.
I think that's one of the things Major League Baseball will probably talk about, though, with the thing in Colorado, now the thing in Texas. This is, you know, these are fans that are going to games and falling out. And this guy was just trying to catch a ball, and they had he was with a young boy, too, and that is just heartbreaking, isn't it? Imagine the kid's excited, he's there with his, the kid's excited, he's there with his father, then he falls over, and the guy says to the players, oh, tell my son I'm okay, make sure he's all right, make sure my son's all right, because he's the only one with them. And then this terrible thing happens. Oh, my, oh, my. We're kicking the can down the road. Stay with us.
The largest part of gaining radiant health is detoxification. You can drink ionized water, cleanse your intestines, eat a perfect diet, and even take lots of quality supplements, and in many instances, only make minimal progress. What is the key to detoxifying your body of mercury, heavy metals, chemicals, and drugs? It is glutathione. Glutathione is the master antioxidant used to detoxify your entire body. It stops free radicals, keeps cells young, and reduces inflammation. One World Whey protein powder may be able to raise your glutathione production by 64% or more. One World Whey is more effective than any other whey protein powder on the market because it is unheated and from grass-fed cows. All other, quote, cold processed whey protein powders have been heated and damaged by 15% or more. One World Whey comes in three delicious flavors. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Has the whole world gone mad?
What's going on?
How can they do that?
Can Christians have demons?
Why are politicians so detached?
Need answers to these questions? This is Scott Ensor for HardcoreChristianity.com. the nastiest Christian radio show and website in the country. When it comes to the biblical truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God, about what's really going on in America and the rest of the world. Come join us each day as Michael W. Smith of the House of Healing in Phoenix reveals what the churches in America fail to tell you about the true spirit realm concerning demonic activity, mental illness, and even the basis of hardcore evil that is sweeping mankind. Visit HardcoreChristianity.com. Remember, you cannot negotiate with evil. You have to eradicate it. It's not too late. Live in or visiting the Phoenix area? Come join us twice a week for our healing and deliverance services or attend our free monthly seminars. Check website for service hours and schedules.
HardcoreChristianity.com.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products, but increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water, and because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
Extend your life with Extendovite. Hi, my name's Russ, and after my heart attack, I wasn't sure what was going to happen. I needed to keep on working, but now it's becoming a problem. I heard about these garlic cayenne drops and hoped it would help me. Well, I've been taking them for about 4 months, and the way I'm feeling now, I can see how I just might make it to retirement, thanks to Extendovite.
My name's Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendovite works. If you're looking for more energy, or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendovite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822, that's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We're headed into another weekend, not a holiday weekend. Ooh, it was a short week for a lot of people. You catch your breath, and then boom, you're into another week, and you got to love that. Some people say, and this is such a whiny thing, though, come on. If you were lucky enough to get the extra day off, then people complain like it's the double Mondays because now they've had that extra day and they got to go back to work. I mean, really, let's face it, all of us would love to just win the lottery and not work. I don't care what you do. I don't care if you love what you do. I really, truly believe deep down, if you had Rockefeller attached to your last name and then you could just, you know, do whatever, you could hang out in the hammock a little bit longer, go take that cruise, not worry about how much it costs, not worry so much about the health care thing because, hey, you can afford the best doctor. So if you have to go to the Mayo Clinic, you know, all's fair. You could get cancer just as much as the next guy. But guess what? You might get it. You might determine that you have it faster because you have the best doctors and screaming available to you. So there is a difference. There is a difference, no matter what anyone says. Money can't buy you happiness, but it does buy you options, right? It does buy you options. All right, you know how we like to zig and zag all over the place here. You get this 2012 coming up. Before you know it, we'll be talking about what's happening at the Republican National Convention, for example, when it's held in Tampa, Florida. I think America Tonight will be there. I have family that lives across the bridge from it. In fact, I'm certain we would be broadcasting from it. And the Democrats, it's a layup. For the Democrats, it's good to go to both. But the thing is we know Obama's got it. I mean, he's running, and it's a question of will he be able to close the deal and win another term. We had a Democratic strategist on this week, and I hope a lot of you were able to hear that. His name's David Morey, and it's interesting. He's a brilliant magician, but he's been a strategist for a lot of people, not just the Democrats, but Boris Yeltsin, for one. Also, a couple of other world leaders who have had to deal with some things when they've been on the road or visiting other countries or dealing with thorny issues or whatever. But he talked about visiting with the president and then going to fundraiser and getting the sense for sure that they don't think that this is a layup, that they don't think that he's walking into this gig second time around, no worries. They're very concerned about the economy, as, of course, all of us are, knowing that that is the one thing that could sink their battleship, so to speak. It could just sink the plan. But you still have to have somebody strong on the Republican side that people will vote for. And he seemed to think that Mitt Romney really was the strongest guy, that he was a much better candidate. And even Bill Clinton had said that, wow, he's so much better the second time around, that he is really a big threat here because he's addressing all the things that people attack him for, right? You still have a full slate of people who want the job, who want to be the guy or woman in 2012 that represents the Republicans. Even the governor of Texas, Rick Perry, is now getting more serious about grabbing the ticket because he's getting a little bit of national attention and he's trying to run it up the flagpole and test it. You know, everybody wants the litmus test because they know it's such a long ordeal to go through. If you're really going to be in it for the long haul, first of all, you've got to have the money. You've got to be able to fundraise quickly. You got to get people behind you in the party, other people. You got to figure out a way to deal with the Tea Party, with a much more conservative base, with the in-between base. You know, you're scrambling. You're trying to get votes. You're trying to get votes. That's what you're trying to win. That's what you're doing. You're trying to win. Remember in Minnesota, the former governor of Minnesota, Tim Pawlenty, had a couple of gaffes right out of the gate, and especially his big one was in New Hampshire when they had the so-called debate. It was really more like a town hall meeting. So Pawlenty, I think, has really been trying to, reach out to younger voters or try to, he's in the snatch and grab time of running for this position because he's trailing in a lot of the polls and it's so early going, but he knows that he has to get his numbers up because Romney is doubling his numbers when people are asked about likely who would they vote for. So he comes out with this whopper. I want you to hear what he says when it comes to music and who he listens to. Take a listen.
You know, in terms of the beat, I like Bad Romance. Mm-hmm. I got to say, even though she's a little unusual, Born This Way's got some mm-hmm. appeal. Now, she's actually very talented. If you go to the end of the HBO special, the Lady Gaga HBO special, and you watch her sing a cappella, Born This Way, she can sing. She can definitely sing. She's talented.
Oh, you know who he's talking about? He's talking about Lady Gaga. Do you believe that he's really a huge Lady Gaga fan? And do you think that connects him to younger voters? he might have watched the HBO special. I'm not sure. Because he definitely knew about it. But Do you think some campaign aide is telling him, yeah, you need, you know, check this out. You need to be able to talk about this because, hey, Obama's twittering and, you know, they got a, all, they're all about the social networking and that's the younger people. So you got to be in there. You got to connect with them some way. So here's a way to do it. I do agree with him about Lady Gaga, but you think that's just campaign nonsense? Throw that out there. See if he can reel in some of the people that, of the younger set that might come to vote for him. That's what I think he was doing there. I'm just saying. He wants to win. So he doesn't want to be out of this race. He's like a lot of the others that are like Newt Gingrich in a sense, where he's talked about it for a long time, I understand, to his inner circle. And now he finally has that just that one little tiny opening. Maybe, just maybe, he can get in there. But he's not the guy that they're talking about anymore. It truly is still Mitt Romney. So unlikely that Paul Entie would grab this nomination anyway. It's going to be interesting. Going to be interesting. All right, this isn't interesting anymore, except for that there was a lot of controversy surrounding it. The U.S. Supreme Court denied a stay of execution in the case of a Mexican national who was convicted of raping and killing a 16-year-old girl back in the mid-90s. They got him. He was executed by lethal injection on Thursday evening. There were a whole bunch of legal appeals. There were pleas for clemency, all kinds of stuff. There's a massive international dispute, a tug of war over, hey, what are the rights here if someone is foreign born and they're on our death row? We've got 40 Mexican nationals on death row right now. So the Supreme Court split 5-4 in denying that stay. And in a opinion by the majority, the court refused to delay the execution until Congress could pass legislation giving the federal courts the authority to hear other claims from foreign inmates. Okay, what did this guy do? Well, what he did, Humberto Garcia Jr., is he killed a very young girl. In a sick and sadistic way, he tortured her in San Antonio, Texas. He raped her, strangled her, smashed her to pieces with a 35-pound piece of concrete. That's what he did. So I think it was the right way to go. Mexico, of course. Felipe Calderon, always willing to stick it to us, condemned the execution, saying that it violated an International Court of Justice ruling ordering the United States to review capital convictions of Mexican nationals. So I think that, I think that this is an issue that's going to be looked at again. I don't think this is it. I think that there's going to be a big push here. Just for curiosity's sake, if you're curious, I'm curious, and I found out what he did before he was executed. He screamed at the top of his lungs, Viva Mexico. And then he said, I'm ready, warden. Let's get the show on the road, baby. That's what he said. A lot of times people apparently in these situations don't say anything, but he did. He screamed that out. And we haven't heard the last of it. It's a good thing to look at in the sense that, is this a fair thing to do? Is this a fair thing to do? You think of Americans in the, who have been put in similar situations going through a system like Amanda Knox in Italy. However, I would say in this case, especially with the evidence, there's no question they did the right thing. I think they did the right thing. I think it was in the interest of this family to do that and not to delay it. And if the evidence is there, if the crime is heinous, I think it's all full board ahead. There's 40 Mexican citizens, as I said, awaiting lethal injections, not just in Texas, in U.S. prisons. And eventually, they could be delayed. Stay with us.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
We don't need to convince you that the threat of forced entry is on the rise and that your door locks are inadequate. Now you can virtually eliminate the threat of your door being kicked in with the Door Sentinel. The Door Sentinel offers standalone door kick-in protection for under $67 and installs in minutes on any door. Turn your home or apartment into a fortress. Get the Door Sentinel at SentinelSecurityGroup.com or call 678-648-6757. The Door Sentinel, always on guard for you.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
Folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
We're kicking it around, as I said, kind of all over the place. We call this scatter shooting heading into the weekend. I like it because there's so much worth cannibalizing. And when I say cannibalizing, I mean just going for it. What is the hard right opinion on this? Well, Senator Patrick Leahy, not to be confused with hard right, Democrat from Vermont, on what I was just talking about with these 40 Mexicans who are on death row. He says, listen, I want this piece of legislation to go through that would grant federal courts the power to review appeals in the case of some of these folks that aren't born in this country, because this case is not an isolated instance. What are the ramifications? What are the legal concerns and the diplomatic concerns? I say diplomatic concerns be damned. This guy was the lowest of the low. He ripped this little girl to shreds and ripped that family's life in half because he was callous and had no regard for human life. He deserved what he got. How would the family feel? And trust me, they did feel some sense of closure. They don't get her back, and forever it burns in their head. The photographs, the last photographs they had of her, it's a heinous crime. And in Texas, baby, you don't get away with that. They try them and fry them if they've got it, if they've got the evidence. Now, you know, if you want to talk about mistakes with death penalty cases and what's now happened and overturning some of them. That's a different ballgame. But the ones that were turned over weren't the stories like this one, right? And in this case, with Garcia, who went after that 16-year-old girl, they waited before they decided to raise all these issues. You know, they tried him. They convicted him. It was very clear. I mean, he was a vicious child rapist, and he was a murderer. And to set aside that conviction would be just dead wrong. That was the conviction. That was the right thing to do. In this case, it was the right thing to do. And, you know, whatever, when you talk about the case, because this is one of the things that was said, one of the many comments that flew around, that the case implicates the United States foreign policy interests of the highest order. And the one thing I would say, and my only concern in this, is what does it mean in the case of U.S. citizens who are out there? And is there, you know, what ultimately do we see with citizens, our citizens, who find themselves in a situation, not where they've raped somebody in a foreign country, smashed them with asphalt, and, you know, basically shredded the girl that he attacked, but in other areas. I mean, we know that. We know you're a goner when there's planted evidence, or we know you're a goner when you're in certain countries where there's nothing that can be done. It's like in the case, and then we're not talking about death and killing anyone, but in the case of the hikers in Iran, and you see the political leverage there, there was no political leverage here. I mean, why would we be so concerned about that? Why should there be clemency? Why should this have happened? Why should there have been an international dispute over the rights of this lowlife? I don't think so. I mean, they had him dead to rights. They had him. There was not a whiff of any accidental, we don't have the right guy. I mean, forget about it. But that wasn't the heart of what they were saying in pursuing this case all the way up to the Supreme Court. They were trying to use the, this is a foreign-born person. We shouldn't have foreign-born people on death row. Well, then to that I say, this goes back to also the issue of who's coming into the United States when we have the serious problem of illegal immigration. I mean, sadly, there are wonderful people who have come across the border, who have families in the United States, who are just keeping to themselves, minding their own business, got a job from somebody in America who is willing to give them a job because they got the cheap labor. So you can pin it on them. But then there's the other elements that come across and have no regard, knowing that there's a great chance they could get away with whatever, because they're not even a citizen. They might even have a driver's license. They have no identification. They might not even have any identification. So how are you going to get them? How are you going to nail them for certain crimes? You know, that's a problem when you have the other element, the criminal element. It's like the gangs, etc. Anyway, speaking of that, Janet Napolitano, the queen of Homeland Security, had this to say recently about the border drug strategy. Listen.
It's air cover that we didn't have before. It is Border Patrol agents that we didn't have before. It's technology, night vision goggles, mobile radar systems.
All right, so she's saying that we're beefing it up. It's about the security. Now we're back to the security issue. We have other ways, other means, as you heard there, things that we've talked about before in America Tonight, beefing up night vision and copters and things that they needed before, drones. That's another thing that has come up. And, you know, I think that this... And I hate to go backwards because I always say that you have to go forwards because we're not solving the problem when we dig back. But if only If only somebody had had the cojones to really enforce these laws that were back there during the Reagan years, we wouldn't be in the situations that we're in right now. We wouldn't have had the incredible overflow that we've had in so many states when it comes to hospitalization, when it comes to schools, when it comes to a lot of different things. When it comes to the seedy element that I've talked about, not that I'm so naive to think that there wouldn't be drugs or other things that come through, but at the amazing levels, sadly, that we're seeing, that wouldn't have happened. That's why it's so important to lean on the people that represent you and not let things fall through the cracks. Because trust me, if you do enough leaning and all it takes is a few phone calls and all it takes is enough people to do it, then the person who wants to get reelected pays attention. They pay attention. They do. But you have to do it. You have to lean on them. You have to lean on them. And not let things just go the status quo. You know, we live in a great country, and we got to hang on to the freedoms and the amazing things that we enjoy as Americans. And the way to do that is when you see things that aren't right, when you see things that don't gel with you, that don't work in your neighborhood and outside of your neighborhood, say something about it. Say something about it, okay? That's what you do. You make that one little phone call. And I always offer this. If you don't know who your representatives are, no shame in that. It's like musical chairs half the time. Send me a note. I'll tell you who it is. I'll give you their number. And you can make the call. How's that? Make the call. All right, without further ado, I am now taking those politicians, both Democrats and Republicans, a bunch of nameless faces saying the same thing over and over and over again. We don't need new taxes. Forget about loopholes. Oh, Social Security is now on the table. It's off the table. It's not on the table. I mean, so many things are falling off and on the table. I can't keep track any longer. So for that, shame on the people that we have elected, because they can't ever seem to come to that point of figuring it out until we're right up against it every single time. Everybody grandstands. Everybody's looking for the next election. I am sick and tired of it. Boy, do we desperately need a third party. Donovan Madsen, usher in that sea of Democrats and Republicans, if you would. I know it's going to be tough to close the door, but slam it shut on them.
This chamber has no windows and no doors.
Yeah, tight quarters, but maybe a couple of days. We'll make a few of them think. Sunday, by the way, is a working day for those politicians. They say they're trying to come up with a way to solve the debt crisis that we're in and not default on the loans. Stay tuned.